Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2013 investor conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2013 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Wednesday, August 7, 2013. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday morning and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. I'll start the conference call here. I'll make some general comments on the main themes of the past few months, and I will then ask Rob Henderson, our COO, and Aurora Davidson, our CFO, to give more detailed information. One of the main themes, of course, was the lower production which we had in Q2, and that, of course, also flowed through to the financial results. As you know, and as we have published, we had a major wall failure in the Colibri operations in April, and that had a very significant effect on production there and, of course, also on costs. The production in April was really miserable because of that, but we were able to recover slowly, and since that time, we have increased production month by month, and that increase has continued in July. We are hoping to be back to our original budget level in Q4, and we are expecting continual production increase in the next few months. We have achieved production in the first half year to a point where we are still just within our guidance for the full year, if you extrapolate. And of course, that is important because that first half year included the past Q2 quarter, where we had these problems in Colibri. So, we are confident that we should be able to reach our guidance for this year, even though it may be on the lower end of that guidance rather than at the higher end. With respect to the financial results, of course, this wall slide and the reduction, the significant reduction in production in Q2 had an effect on our costs, and that is the reason that we had a small loss in Q2, but we still have pretty good cash flow, as you could see in our press release of over 4 million. The other aspect which is important and which you can see in our releases is that the capital expenditures are continuing to decrease. And that, of course, also is very important from our cash flow, free cash flow point of view. If we exclude the capital expenditures which we will need to start expending for Kaukenus, our sustaining capital has come down to to a level which is in the $3 to $5 million range. And then, of course, the third theme, which is, of course, the most important one, is Kaukenus. And you have all seen the press release with respect to Kaukenus, and I just like to make a few general comments on it. As you know, our present contract with Codelco ends in 2021 for the fresh tailings, and it ends whenever we would exhaust the tailings from Colibas, which would probably be a little bit earlier than 2021. So the Kaukenus agreement, which we negotiated and where we have a general agreement with Codelco and with El Teniente, even though we have not worked out the last details, but we have worked out most of the all of the major elements of such an agreement, with one exception, and I'll come to that. That agreement means that we will be able to extend that time frame from 2021 to 2037. Now, there will be clauses in the agreement where Codelco will be able, after 2021, to buy the operation from us for the net present value at that time. These clauses are not completely negotiated to the final detail yet, so I cannot make too many comments on that. But it is clearly a significant improvement to the situation which we have right now, where in 2021 our agreement would end, and we would have the obligation to remove all the facilities. And as you know, we have provisions for that in our balance sheet, and the studies which on which these provisions are based on show that we would need approximately $12 million in 2021 to remove all this equipment and hand over the terrain to Codelco in a form which the present agreement requires. So clearly, Cauquenes is a big step forward. It brings us years of production and in my view, positive financial results, because as you have seen in the press release, Cauquenes will also will also help us to reduce our costs further. Rob will later talk a little bit more about our present efforts of cost reduction, but Cauquenes will further reduce our operating costs, and the main reason for that is, of course, better grade. But it is also better working conditions. Some of you may know the conditions which we have in Colibas, where we always have to contend with water. And of course, this past quarter was a good example, bad example, of course, where we were not able to manage because of heavy rains to manage this water and we had a bad experience which resulted in a reduction of our production from Colibas. That is something which will not happen in Cauquenes. So we don't have to deal with water there because this is a dry tailings, and it has only very, very minimal inflow of water from the surrounding mountains, while Colibas is the main basin where all the water coming down from the mountains is going through Colibas. So that is a major improvement, and that's the reason for the potential reduction of costs once we are producing from Cauquenes. The plan is that once the final agreement with El Teniente is signed, that we would switch our operations as soon as possible from Colibas to Cauquenes in order to get the benefit of these further reduced costs. And then just a last comment. These days, impairment is a main subject with many mining companies, and of course we are happy to report that mainly due to Cauquenes, we do not have an impairment charge in our operations. So with that, I'd like to turn over to Rob and then to Aurora.
Thank you, Klaus. As mentioned, the second quarter of 2013 was tough from an operations perspective due to the low production from Colibas. However, MVC did well to recover and they operated safely with no employee lost time incidents. MVC produced 9.6 million pounds of copper at a cash cost of $2.24 per pound. This Q2 copper production was about 17% lower than the 11.6 million pounds they achieved in Q2 last year, and the cash cost is about 14% better than the cost of $2.61 achieved in Q2 last year. The main reason for the low metal production was the low grade and the low metal recovery currently being experienced in the Kaliwas extraction zones. Due to the lower than expected quarterly metal production and the lower than expected copper prices, MVC have been focusing on cost reduction efforts. And MVC have reduced the number of subcontractors and are implementing a number of continuous improvement initiatives to lower reagent and power costs going forward. Copper production in Q3 is expected to improve and by Q4 should recover to historic levels. Therefore, as Klaus mentioned, our production guidance for 2013 remains at the lower end of our previous announced guidance of 45 to 50 million pounds of copper, and our cash cost guidance remains at $1.95 to $2.15 per pound. The Carquinez feasibility study is in the final stages of preparation, and we're conducting optimization exercises to de-risk the construction period by first building the Carquinez infrastructure and then building the plant expansion. We filed our EIA at the beginning of the year, and environmental permitting is proceeding on schedule, and we anticipate regulatory approval in the next few months. I'll now hand over to Aurora to discuss the Q2 financials.
Thank you, Rob and Klaus. As you know, Amerigo's financial results for the second quarter of 2013 were affected, as Rob has said, by a combination of low production as a result of the change in mine plan and low copper and moly prices. Revenue in Q2 was $31.4 million compared to $43 million in Q1. So this is a significant decrease in revenue for the company. Cost of sales in Q2 was $31.2 million compared to $38 million in Q1. The production and price conditions we experienced during Q2 resulted in the company posting a very marginal gross profit of only $200,000 and a net loss of $837,000. On a year-to-date basis, the gross profit reached $5.3 million, and we posted a net profit of $2.4 million. In respect of cash flow, in Q2, Amerigo generated cash flow from operations of $4.1 million. And on a year-to-date basis, cash flow generated from operations reached $11.5 million. In meeting its obligations in the normal course of business, we experienced a reduction in non-cash working capital of $8.9 million in the month, including a reduction of $5.4 million in royalties to El Teniente. We had anticipated this situation and had therefore deferred the declaration of dividends at the end of Q1. On a year-to-date basis, cash flow generated from operations, including all changes to non-cash working capital, reached $3.4 million. During Q2, we made payments of $3.7 million for capital expenditures, both sustaining and engineering and permitting for Cauquenes, and our projected CAPEX budget is within budget. On a year-to-date basis, CAPEX payments have reached $7.3 million. Most of the CAPEX were front-loaded in the year, so we are experiencing or expecting to have lower sustaining capital and lower Cauquenes permitting costs in the second half of the year. In respect of financing activities, we have repaid all outstanding bank debt. Year-to-date debt repayments were $1.5 million. Our cash position at June 30th was within our projections, factoring in reduced production and current market prices. It was shy of $4 million, and it is at comparable levels at current time, with projections to improve in the second half of the year as production continues to recover. That would be a summary of the financial results and financial position at June 30th.
Okay, so we are ready for questions.
Thank you. Questions will now be taken from the telephone lines. If you wish to ask a question at this time and you are using a speakerphone, please ensure that you lift your handset before you make any selections. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may also cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have any questions. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any questions. The first question is from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. One thing I didn't quite understand is once Calkenis is going and running and in full production, you will stop producing period from Collahuasi and just leave the tailings there?
We'll stop Collahuasi, yes. And we'll leave the tailings there till we have produced all of the Calkenis tailings, and then we'll come back to Collahuasi and empty Collahuasi completely.
And that'll be many years from now.
That's right.
So probably we won't be around. Okay, that was my question. Okay, thank you.
I will not be around.
Let's be optimistic.
Thank you. The next question is from John Polcari from New York. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you speak to your dividend policy as you envision it going forward in light of the expected CapEx and your current cash position and your anticipated production?
Yeah. Well, you know, it is very difficult to say at this point what the decision on dividends will be in the near term.
I'm not looking for our policy in the near term. What I'm inquiring about is what the posture would be for dividends. Not, you know, you're addressing maybe this quarter or the next quarter or the immediate term. And my question specifically is, a posture on dividends over an intermediate to longer term outlook.
Right, and I was coming to that. Our dividend policy is still clear, and has never changed. That we'd like to pay dividends to the tune of
at least
one-third or 30%, was it 30% or one-third?
One-third
of our earnings. That has never changed.
Which earnings, Klaus? What type of earnings? In other words, defined earnings, operating income, net income, cash flow, EBITDA, EBIT?
Net earnings.
Net earnings.
Net income after tax.
Net income after tax, yes.
Okay.
And that has never changed now, and that still is in effect, and I don't see any reason why we should change that. Now, with respect to the short term, we did not pay any dividends earlier in the year because, well, first of all, we had the wall failure in Collahuasi, and therefore we had a production problem, and we also saw at that time the significant reduction in the price of copper, so we were cautious what to do with our cash. And as Aurora was saying, we are expecting that our cash situation will improve in the second half of the year based on our present production schedule and our present assumptions about price and taking into account the cost reductions which we have initiated, and so later this year it will be up to the board to make a decision whether at that time, taking into account prices, taking into account our status with respect to financing of Kaukanis, whether it is appropriate to pay dividends at that point or wait again, for the new year. What we in our discussions with the banks about financing Kaukanis, we have made it quite clear that whatever conditions they will put, what is not acceptable to us is that we would not be able to pay dividends. So the banks are pretty clear on that. We'll have to see what the final agreements will be, but we have made that point quite clear to them.
When you say the banks are clear, you're referring to the fact that it's, if I hear you correctly, you're saying the banks are clear in terms of your terms, not necessarily.
The banks are clear of what we want. Yes.
Right. Not necessarily what they would require.
Right. We haven't seen that yet.
Right. Would it be a correct statement to say that the new agreement, and I understand it has not been firmed up, I understand there's still points to negotiate, I understand it's simply a memorandum of understanding, I understand that there are details to be worked out, it's not in writing, it's not cut in stone, it hasn't been legally finalized. However, would it be correct to assume or to state that the new agreement allows for a more protected downside in terms of operating at a lower commodity price environment?
Yes.
In exchange for giving up some of the upside in a higher commodity price environment.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely correct. And these terms are negotiated, and they will not change anymore. They have been approved by the board of Codelco, and these are the terms on which Elton Yente will have to sign the agreement. There are, as you say, this is still not a legally binding agreement,
right.
And there are other points which are not so clearly defined, but that point is clearly defined, and it means that if prices go down to 195 in copper or below, that at that point the royalty arrangement is not defined, and we'll have to sit down what we do at that time. This is of course much better than what we have right now, where we would have to pay for the fresh tailings royalty all the way down to 80 80 cents, and that is one of the things which brought us into trouble in the financial crisis in 2008, where we still had to continue paying royalty, even though we were losing a lot of money at copper prices of 130 and 140. And that is something which we have eliminated, and as you say, we of course had to leave something on the table,
right?
At higher prices. Now, having said that, at present prices, the agreements would basically be the same in terms of what kind of royalty we would have to pay.
Now, I know how protracted these negotiations can be, and we've shared in the pain, and I know it's easy to state that these things take time, and obviously I'm more than cognizant of that, but in your best estimate, when would you anticipate some sort of finalization to the definitive agreement, year-end, mid-2014?
I've said in the past, I'm not going to make any statements anymore with respect to timing in connection with Codelco. But let me answer your question in the following way. As Rob has said, we are expecting environmental approvals either the end of this quarter or certainly in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's fact number one. Fact number two is El Pendiente is very much interested in increasing production. Number three, we have clearly stated to El Pendiente that we cannot do anything if we don't have an agreement because we cannot finalize financing,
right,
and therefore we cannot do anything. And they said they understand that, and they said, yeah, we'll do everything possible to get this done as fast as possible, and we certainly don't want you to be in a situation where you don't do anything once you have environmental approval, because we delay it, and you cannot get financing.
Because are they willing to bring to bear in any shape or form some of their considerable influence in terms of assisting in a financing package?
I think they have bigger problems than we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have to finance $30 billion
mm-hmm.
in the next, you know, 7 or 8
right.
years.
Decade, right.
And so I think they understand what is required for financing, but I don't think that they can help us much
in a specific,
that respect.
In a specific question, the current power agreement, as favorable as it is, it runs out in 2017 at a level that currently allows for the current production, or the current normalized production, if I should assume we come back up to historic levels.
Right.
With the expansion, obviously, a key component is power.
Yes.
And the incremental power, it would not be covered by the existing favorable agreement.
No.
So would it, all other things being equal, revert to a more market-based price that has been dramatically higher? Would there be an opportunity to negotiate an extension or an increase similar to what you have? Would there be an opportunity to maybe go to an alternative source for additional power? In other words, what would be the optimal or the more practical expectation of power needs? So, fulfilling power needs.
Yeah. Well, we are at the present time already negotiating with one power source for a small additional power supply of about 10 megawatt, and that would be in the same range of prices which we have right now. We have also evaluated and may start discussions with other smaller producers, non-conventional producers, which could also supply power at about slightly above the level that we have right now. So there are possibilities, particularly for smaller projects, and of course we are smaller projects. As you know, power is a very difficult situation in Chile, and a lot of the big projects have either been postponed or cancelled because they cannot they cannot assure that they have the power to start up these projects. So that is mainly due to the fact that big power projects in Chile are presently very, very difficult to be approved. Mm-hmm. Smaller projects seem to have not that difficulty, and that's where we are concentrating right now, to look for smaller projects which could supply at least part of our power at prices which are at the present price which we have, or only slightly higher.
But you would not envision having to get into the power business yourself, correct?
Well, we are in a way, right?
Right, with the generators,
we have our two generators, right?
Right, but I mean, in an ideal situation, you would have perhaps multiple arrangements for incremental power.
Right. Yes.
And my final question is, to the degree that and there are a lot of moving parts here, I understand, power prices, labor costs, the final terms of the agreement, quality of the rock, etc., the recovery rate. But envisioning the new agreement similar to what you're expecting, the new break-even price all in for mining a pound of copper would be reduced to X. You must have a number where, on a break-even basis, net income basis, at the current favorable power prices, with the current labor agreement, with a revised royalty understanding, I'm sure you had estimated a minimum break-even point. And I'm wondering, what would that number be?
Well, when we negotiated, you know, the $1.95 as the base where royalty starts,
right,
that was based on our understanding at that point of what our operating costs are, what our capital costs are, and what our financing costs are. So all these three elements
mm-hmm.
are included in this $195. Now, because at the time we did not know whether our assumptions will come true, we also negotiated that $195 will be looked at once Cauquenes is in full production for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. In which case it could go up or down.
So if our operating costs plus capital costs plus financing costs are higher than $195, then it will be adjusted to that number.
Or would there be room to adjust it on both sides, up or down?
Both sides, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in today's world, you know, you never think about costs going down.
No, but
yeah, but it will be adjusted. You are absolutely right. It would be adjusted in both directions.
So some number modestly below $2 with everything as difficult an assessment and a speculation as that might be, everything else being equal, not knowing financing costs, not having a final agreement, not knowing what the power costs are, somewhere in the vicinity of $2 might be a broad brushstroke, all-in break-even price.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jason Nelson from McLean, Virginia. Please go ahead.
Hey, Klaus, it's Scott Barbie here. How's it going?
Good, good. Hi.
Hello. Yeah, good, good. Hey, I was wondering if you'd walk me through one more time just to refresh us on the Cauquenes project in particular. I know that there in the past there were a couple of stages of CapEx. And maybe you could just run if you'd be kind enough to run us through kind of a thumbnail of the parts and the CapEx and is there an incrementalism to the expansion of volume or how does that work?
Well, I guess as Rob was saying, that we are now in the optimization stage of the feasibility study, where we are looking into phasing our investment in such a way that we get higher production as soon as possible. So that's why Rob was saying we would first do the infrastructure and the infrastructure for Cauquenes and the mining equipment for Cauquenes. That would allow us to start Cauquenes and process it in the existing mill facilities. Once we are there, we can then, expand the mill facilities, and that will then further increase production because of better recoveries. We will then also have a flotation plant for the fines, which we don't have right now. And the reason we don't have it right now is because the amount of fines and the copper content in the fines from the fresh tailings would not make it feasible, but in Cauquenes it does. So yes, there are increments, and as Rob said, we will start with that infrastructure and mining of Cauquenes, and that will already get us to a higher production level, and then by expanding the plant, this will subsequently further increase production.
Okay, and the CapEx associated with that initial equipment in order to utilize your existing mill facilities and then is how much?
If you only do infrastructure and mining equipment, it's probably in the $50 million range. And it
okay.
will, you know, it and will, it, but it will substantially already increase production.
And that's the amount that is needed to get to this 90 million pounds that you're talking about?
No. In order to get to the 90 million, you have to invest the total amount, also the investment in the milling and flotation facilities.
Milling and flotation. Okay, so the 50 gets you how far then? You think, ballpark?
Well, it's difficult to say because they it's not something where you say, oh, now we are at 30 or 35,000 tons annually, because it doesn't go annually. It may go for a few months, and then you are at a different stage. again, because you now have added some equipment in the plant, and then you are at a different stage again. So, it's difficult, but you know, we would, if you would really separate everything, if you would say, okay, fine, let's do just one part, which however is not true, then that first part would certainly get us over 30,000 on an annual basis. But, you know, as I said, because these stages, they just go on, you know. Rob, you have to add something.
Yeah, Scott, you know, we haven't yet finished the studies. There are a number of different optimization scenarios that we're looking at. So, you know, it's impossible to give you a number right now because we have, you know, multiple numbers that we're trying to pick out the best option. But as Klaus said, it's going to, you know, take the full CapEx in order to get to the 90. And where we are right now at 45, there will be an incremental value that we haven't finalized yet as the phase one with the Calkinus alone. And that number, you know, yet to be determined, but it'll be somewhere between 45 and 90 with the ultimate 90 achieved, you know, when we put the full project in place.
Okay. I guess the other kind of question I had, and I realize that this, the deal's not done and so forth, but the idea that you're given an option to purchase out the equipment and the business possibly to the supplier Codelco. Do you based on a kind of a present value of some kind? I'm kind of wondering, you know, if there are protections in that such that you know, at a time when copper price might be very low, because of some, you know, a supply shock or demand, you know, demand problem that might be, you know, cyclical and temporary in nature. Does that allow Codelco to basically exercise at what would be a very low NPV? You know, just you know, given that this is entirely the operations of the business, and I was just wondering if there's any more light you could shed on that, you know, kind of the way you were thinking about that particular clause.
Well, you know, in order to do the agreement which we are trying to finalize right now, you know, there was just no way of not agreeing to something like that. I mean, you can imagine that under normal circumstances, we have an agreement till 21, that, you know, particularly civil servants, why would they put their head out and do something now where, you know, people could criticize them later? I mean, their normal attitude would be, well, come back in 2020 and then we think about what, you know, what we can do after 21. And so in order to do an agreement now, they just needed that protection of saying, well, you know, there must be a way that we could perhaps buy the business or, you know, something like that. I mean, you are absolutely right. The risk is there that, you know, they could buy it at relatively low copper price scenario. But as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, Codelco has to invest $30 billion in the next 8 years. I don't know at this point whether they will be able to get that money and how they are going to get that money. But, and if they don't get it, or if they cannot complete that investment program, copper production from the largest producer of copper will probably, you know, go down by somewhere between 30% and 50%. I mean, if they cannot conclude the underground development in Chuquicamata, we will lose, I don't know, 900,000 tons of copper. So they have really big projects to look after. And if prices are really bad, this will become even tougher for them to finance. And then for them to go to the board and eventually to the state, because this has to be approved by the state, and say, well, we'd like to buy, it doesn't cost much, but still we'd like to buy this for another $100 million, you know, or whatever it will be, $150 million. I think it's very theoretical. But having to negotiate this deal with them, there is no way that a civil servant can just give you free hand, completely free hand, till 2037, because I'm sure there would be somebody who would criticize and say, how can you do something like that? So it's protection for them, but I cannot see that they would ever exercise it, because if a company like Codelco would run our operations, and they have to pay net present value, right? And then they buy it, and they know themselves that they cannot run the operations like we do. If they take it over, it will be a bureaucratic process, and, you know, their profit would be probably less than what they get from the royalty, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need to have such a clause in the agreement, but I don't think it will really be it will really be something which they will exercise.
If they would take this over at the NPV, does it envision taking over any debt associated with the building of the facility?
Yes, it was made quite clear that that the first thing they would have to do is repay completely any debt that is outstanding.
I got you. Okay. Okay, the other issue, just to kind of catch up on, is you talked earlier about the molybdenum wash circuit that you had and we're doing work on whether that was economic. It sounded like you've chosen to keep that open. Maybe an update on that might be helpful.
Yeah, in the cost reduction efforts which we have undertaken over the past 2-3 months, one aspect was the molybdenum circuit, and we have reduced the reagent use significantly. This resulted in some reduction in recoveries, but overall the economics is better. So right now we have an operation which at present molybdenum prices still makes some money, not much, but it still makes money.
Okay, Klaus, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press *1 if you have any further questions or comments. There are no further questions registered on the telephone lines at this time. I'd now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kubla.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, everyone, for attending our conference call, and we'll look forward to talking to you again when we report our Q3 results.
Thank you.
The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.